it's all in.
You didn't even bother to look. You're just gonna clock me. I know I'm pretty, but I ain't as pretty as a couple of titties.
As your leader,
I
encourage you from time to time, and always in a respectful manner, to question my logic.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear a lamentation of their women.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tyler Durden.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Milk was a bad choice.
Hey, where are the white women at?
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
You can't handle the truth!
You are now listening to Cinema Press.
Welcome to episode 82 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. But no one calls me Christopher. Why do I introduce myself as Christopher Crespo? Why do we do that?
I have no idea.
No one calls me Christopher.
Nobody. Not even your mom.
If she's angry.
Christopher!
Get the full name.
You get your ass over here. Christopher Alexander Crespo, you get your ass over here.
Get your ass off the porch. Yeah. Haven't heard that in a while. Which is a good thing.
There's something with mom.
That helps.
Yeah.
That helps.
And if she was around witnessing all the bullshit that I witnessed.
The bullshits.
I'm pretty sure she'd be calling you by your full name quite often.
The bullshits. That's the next, that's going to go up there with the outrages and the hatreds.
Bullshits.
We're going to do the bullshits. This is the bullshits. Welcome to episode 82 of Cinema Crespity. So I think I said that already. That's my host, Houston Cogburn. Co-host, Houston Cogburn. Hey.
What up, bro?
How's it going? What are you? You enjoying some dried mango over there?
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
You got like $15 worth of dried mango over there. Yeah, big baller.
It's almost all gone, too.
Are you smuggling? Is this where the Crespediso money's been going the whole time? To your dried mango habit?
We have Crespediso money?
Apparently. Where's this dried mango coming from?
I got sources, bro.
Sources. Oh, that's what... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before.
I got sources. Don't worry.
I've heard that before. Bunch of noise. Bunch of business. Man, we got a big show for you. Epic show. It's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. We have a guest next week. A returning guest. I'll just tease that. I'll tease this. It's a returning guest and a host of his or her own podcast. Looking forward to...
I wonder who it's going to be. I
wonder who that's going to be. A teaser. That's episode 83. Looking forward to that. Episode 82 right now. It's just Drewster and myself. We're doing, I guess it depends on where you're looking at it in terms of time, but there's a spoiler-filled Guardians of the Galaxy bonus episode that you can download as well. This episode we'll be doing a spoiler-free review, like we always do, because we try to keep the show spoiler-free. We do our best, I think. And but you know, sometimes we really gotta get our teeth into movies, and there's some stuff I really want to talk about with Guardians of the Galaxy. So check out that spoiler episode. That's right alongside this one, episode 82. All done. No more. Mm-hmm. No more dried mango. Mm-hmm. Oh. There goes that budget. Mm-hmm. There goes that Crespediso budget. We need a new mixer. Our mixer is working just fine right now. Give me one of these. You excited for that Into the Storm movie?
Not really. Kind of sounds like what's brewing outside.
Give me one of these. Oh, I did it again. Same. It sounds stupid when you do it twice in a row. I don't have any other thunder or lightning. I need more. I've always wanted to talk about that trailer. I think the movie's coming out next week.
Maybe
in 2 weeks. I'm not sure.
Starring that chick from The Walking Dead.
Oof, yeah, that's when you know.
And a whole bunch of people you've never seen before.
Best thing about a movie like that, you don't know who's going to die. Anyone can
Everybody.
Die. And, yeah,
anyone. Except her.
No, she could die too.
No, she's not going to die.
She could. Yeah. She died on that show.
There's no other...
She is apparently very expendable, but not expendable.
But there's nobody's other faces who anybody recognizes.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. We're making stars with Into the Storm.
No, we're not.
Absolutely. The trailer looks like... You know what it looks like? It looks like when you're at Universal Studios and you're getting ready to go on a ride.
Twister 2, the Twistinator.
Yes, it looks like the video that they would show on your way in to.
Oh, my God.
There's a one shot. You're supposed to see it in 3D. It looks so stupid when you don't see it in 3D. There's like the one guy who's holding the girl's hand and she's like being sucked into the storm. Yep. And it just looks so bad.
Yep.
So,
it's going to be awful.
We might have to see it.
No, I'm skipping that one.
You're going to skip that one? Totally. Well, I might have to see that one.
Yeah, fun. I'm waiting until that comes out on, cable in like 2 weeks after it comes out on theaters.
On a Stoner Vision?
Yeah, yeah, because that movie definitely should have been straight to the red box.
On a Snackoscope?
Snackoscope. Stoner Vision Snackoscope.
Let's get the show started. All right, this is
Let's get started the show. Are you speaking old-timey English?
The thing is, I was ready to do the show, and I was waiting for you a little bit. I'm not trying to blame you or put any pressure on anything. I'm just saying I'm blaming myself.
Pressure.
I'm blaming myself.
I feel the pressure.
For having half a six-pack worth of Cigar City High Life while I was waiting for you.
Oh, so you in the hour I was gone, you drank 5 beers.
No, I said half. I'm on my third.
Plus the one that you had before I left.
No, there was only 3 there.
Are you sure you can count right
I'm
now?
I'm sure.
Are you positive?
In beer math, I can count. That's why I bought the 12-pack Yingling, because I knew I only had 3 of these. And you know what? I thought I was out of Yingling, though. I found there's a spare can of Yingling over there.
It sounds like I need to catch up, then.
Well, there's a can of Yingling right on the door. It's nice and cold. We're going to start this show, though, with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Get that puppy started. Warm it up right there. You can go to chriscrespo.com for our past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. Recently we did Kill Bill Volume 1 was one of them. We have some Kill Bill news coming up in the second half of the show. Remember what was last week? Assault on Precinct 13 was last week's.
Yes, it was.
The original John Carpenter's from 1976. The funny thing about that movie, the assault actually happens on Precinct 9 in Division 13.
But people who heard last week's episode already know that, Chris.
Yeah, but if this is your first week tuning in, that just blew your mind. Comedy works in threes, Drew. I had to play it a third time for it to work. So, okay, I'll just put that soundboard aside there. Go to chriscrespo.com. Check out the past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. Oh, Drew got himself his final summer house.
Is that what you
got there? Good job, buddy. That reminds me to remind you, August 15th, Friday, Wall Street Plaza. Go to the SBK Live local music showcase. Drew and I will be there. We'll both be there. We'll be hanging out. New Belgium Beer is a sponsor of that event. For $15, you get an SBK Live mug. Can't wait to get one of those.
You can just see the show and not get on the beer special for $5.
I was going to get there, Drew.
Or you can pay $15, you can get the mug and unlimited beers until it's gone.
You reversed it.
Straight up.
Well, I talked over it then, so I have to apologize. So see the position you put me in, Drew?
And then I can talk over it while you say it, and then we're even.
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, here we go. It's $15. You got an SBK Live.
The movie's
mug,
from 2009.
Which I can't wait to get. And then for $5, just the band.
It's 2 hours and 26 minutes.
All right, Netflix pick of the week. It's 2009. Two hours and how long?
26? No, 2 hours and 6 minutes. My bad.
Okay. Big difference there, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
2009, a little over 2 hours.
Rated R. You rated it 3 stars.
This might be a 3.5-star situation here.
Francis Ford Coppola's drama centers on the relationship between and Benny. I can't say the name.
Because it's an Italian name.
Well, no.
Because it's Tetro.
Yes, because it's the name of the movie, so I couldn't say it.
So you just skipped over it.
Between and Benny.
I was going to let you give a little bit of a...
Two brothers who meet in Buenos Aires after 10 years draped in it.
For the people, because, you know, they want to know too. Go ahead and read. You just started with the description of Tetro.
I read it. That was it. That was everything.
That was his whole thing.
That was it. It's all.
Tetro reconnects with... No, what if he...
Nope.
Click on the title.
Uh-uh.
But there's more.
No, there isn't.
Starring Vinny G himself, Vincent Gallo. The world famous Vincent Gallo. Super popular. Everyone knows who this guy is, right?
No.
No, no one. He's a very fringe actor. For a second there, it looked like he was going to maybe break through, get a little more popular. He was working a lot for a little while, and then he kind of stopped working. I think it was more of a thing where maybe he's difficult to work with. You ever see the movie Buffalo 66 that he made?
I don't think so.
With Christina Ricci? That's a weird one. That's a strange one. That's on Netflix every now and then. I haven't seen it on there in a while. That's a crazy
movie. It's just too weird.
It is a little weird. You ever see Brown Bunny? The Brown Bunny?
Nope.
Have you heard of The Brown Bunny?
Yes.
One of these legendary bad films where a majority of it is him driving through the desert.
Sweet. Sounds awful.
And then at the end, he gets a blowjob from Chloe Sevigny, who was his real-life lady at the time. So she was fine with just going full bore right there on film.
Porn style?
Preserved forever.
Nice.
And then they showed it at the Cannes Film Festival. Roger Ebert
her giving
there.
Her dude a blowy.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Like right there. Like not even artistic about it.
Yep. Nope. Just dick and mouth.
That's pretty much what, yeah, that's, yeah. That's what a blowjob is, yeah. Dr. Drew's 2 cents swinging in. Thank you, Drew. So Vincent Gallo is the star of this one. I don't think he doesn't get a BJ on screen anyway. I can't remember if he does. Or, I don't think he does. But you have it there in front of you. What's this other guy's name? Adrian something?
Alden? Heinrich?
Heinrich. Yes, I knew it was a crazy German
name. Ehrenreich.
Aaron. It's a weird...
It's Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich. But it's Aiden?
Alden.
Alden?
A-L-D-E-N. Alden.
A-L-D-E-N?
Yes.
This guy is totes Leo DiCaprio 2.0, at least in looks.
Okay.
You know, he's like the younger, newer version of Leo DiCaprio. Just there's certain scenes in this movie, certain shots, where it looks like Gilbert Grape era, maybe a little couple years before the beach era DiCaprio.
Okay.
This guy, right? And the movie's about how he's... the younger member of the family, Vincent DiGallo, is his older brother. They're estranged a bit, but they get back together, and he's trying to like get him back in his brother's, you know, graces again. Mm-hmm. Not even good or bad, just trying to be brothers again for whatever reason. And it builds to like this grand reveal, and it's pretty intense. It's an interesting movie. It's shot in black and white, and it's Francis Ford Coppola. He, you know, like in the 70s, he had that awesome run where he did Godfather, Godfather 2, Conversation, and Apocalypse Now, which is like four of just the greatest movies ever. Just so happens that they're all made by the same guy. Pretty wild. Almost in order, too, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, no one's perfect. That guy made a string of movies that anyone would give their, you know, their left arm to be able to make. But he went on to keep making movies, and he made such gems that just like Jack. Right? Remember that one? You know?
Yeah. Robin Williams is giant hairy man child.
Or he just made like forgettable movies like he did The Rainmaker with Matt Damon, a John Grisham novel from the 90s, which all those things were that, The Pelican Brief, The Firm, The Client, they're all interchangeable. Right?
Pretty much.
And then he kind of went away for a while in terms of filmmaking. He was kind of done with it. At the same time, he was running into financial problems. It was getting harder for him to make movies. And then he started making wine.
Sweet.
He made that Coppola wine.
Yeah.
He found out that people would pay a little bit more per bottle.
Because it's his name. Because
that's Coppola. Pow! The guy who made The Godfather made this wine. I'm drinking... Maybe he stepped on these grapes. Maybe it has...
I'm drinking some Godfather wine.
Maybe it has some Godfather toe fungus on there. Yeah. That, you know, it's unfermented and now it's going to get me trashed.
Sweet.
You know, I'd get trashed on Godfather toe fungi wine.
Okay.
For $15.99 a bottle.
Sure.
When equivalent wine... You get just on the next shelf down for like $6.99 a bottle, right? But it's got Coppola's name on it, man. Yeah. I can save the bottle. Anyway, that saved him. That got him out of bankruptcy. Actually made him money. At the same time, the film industry got to a point where you can make movies with digital cameras and stuff, you know.
That's nice and cheap.
Nice and cheap. DIY was a possible thing. So, boom, Tetra was one of several movies he made. He made three movies. The first one he did before this... I want to say Youth in Revolt, but it's not that, because that's that Michael Cera movie that's based on that book. But it's something along those lines where it's with Tim Roth, and he plays a guy that was like struck by lightning, and he was an older dude who was dying, he was struck by lightning, and then the lightning somehow like reversed him, and Benjamin buttoned him, and he started getting younger.
Really?
And then like the Nazis were trying to get him so they could find out why that happened.
What?
It was a weird movie, man. It's a weird movie. Tetra's a little better because it's a little more focused, more of a family drama thing, but still very good. And then the movie he made after that, I can't remember what it was. But it's great. It's good. I would definitely recommend it. It's a good pick. Good job, Drew. Tetra, the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Let's get into that box office review. The box office recap brought to you by ChrisCross.com.
Starting off number five this week. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes made another $8.7 million for a total of $189.3 on a budget of $170.
Damn. That's a good money. We'll get to $200. It might crawl there. It's it's definitely worth $200 million. I mean, people.
Well, yeah, it's a great movie.
It did make 258 international, so we're at 447 worldwide, which is fantastic for a movie about a bunch of CG talking apes.
Monkeys.
Wielding guns.
And number four this week, we got Hercules.
Hercules!
Made a week and grossed $10.7 million, total of 52 on a budget of 100.
This one is going to need international to help it out. It's only at $108 million worldwide. I think the release for this international is a little slow, so for it to make some decent money, we're going to have to see how it does in some foreign outlets, which is a bit of a shame, I think, because Dwayne Johnson, the movie itself is eh.
Yeah.
We established last week's show, it's not necessarily bad,
but
it's pretty forgettable. You know, I now struggle to remember most of the things that even happened in that movie. But Dwayne Johnson, man. Dwayne T.H. Rock. T.H.E. Rock Johnson. That guy is something else. He's good.
Dwayne Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is fantastic. And he deserves to be in big movies. I think, deserves a funny word. He is, he fills a need there for a very physical actor, but who can still act, you know?
He can.
I mean, no one's asking him to, like bang out Oscar performances, but for what he's doing, I mean, he's the man. He's it. It's like the 80s. We had Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Van Damme, Seagal, Chuck Norris. We were silly with these fucking ridiculous action stars.
Yes.
Who do we got now? Who's our action stars now?
We still have Stallone.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
We still have Stallone Seagal.
And Schwarzenegger is back.
We still have Schwarzenegger.
Seagal.
We still have Bruce Willis.
I'm a Seagalologist. I love Seagal. But if you want to see his movies, you have to go looking for them.
They're all still working, Chris. That's where they went.
But they're all like, a lot of those guys are in direct-to-video land, like Dolph Lundgren. Yeah. You know, the only theatrical guy we got is Jason Statham. And he's, I think, I fear
he's on his way out.
Statham has crossed the Rubicon. He now releases more direct-to-video movies than he does theatrical. The baldness made him look old before he got old. Now he's getting old.
Now he is old.
It's kind of like a Steve Martin type thing where now he's aging into his looks. Anyway, we need The Rock. What I'm saying is we need The Rock. I think I read somewhere online something about him doing a movie, him co-starring with Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an official, even though we already had the official in the movie passing the torch from Schwarzenegger to The Rock.
Yep.
We want to make another one. Make it this time. Like this time it's for real.
It happened so long ago.
The rundown was forever ago.
It was. He was so young. Look at The Rock then.
It is crazy.
He's so young.
If you look online, there's like you can swap out like or do side-by-sides of pictures of him. Like even just 10, 15 years ago and him now. It's like I saw a picture of him on doing the red carpet for The Game Plan, which is the one I think where he was like he was a football player, but he had a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing the red carpet. He looked like half the size of what he is now. He was tiny, thin. Even then, he was huge. But tiny compared to like Hercules.
Oh, my God.
The Hercules. It's ridiculous.
The steroids.
The HGH. Plus a little bit of steroids. Yeah. A cycle or two. Mm-hmm. Actually, I read a thing online that purported to be an article, but it read more like a fucking ad type mm-hmm. thing. But, you know, you never know with the internet these days, right? Well, it was some sort of ripped fuel or ripped rocket or rocket fuel or, like, get jacked muscle, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But it was specifically about people in Hollywood using it.
Sweet.
And a lot of before-after pictures of certain people who supposedly use this stuff, including Dwayne Johnson. Hemsworth and Thor.
Yeah.
And they showed Mel Gibson walking around. Guy walking around with the with the body of a 35-year-old bodybuilder, like just ripped guns and
what?
But with old man Gibson head on
it's
top.
So weird.
It looked really strange. It looked very bizarre. So yeah, they definitely it's not like pro sports. These guys can steroid it up. No one's drug.
Yeah, no.
Hollywood's not drug testing these guys for steroid use. Imagine if you drug tested Hollywood.
Ugh.
Then she would shut down
immediately.
You'd be stuck I was gonna say you'd be stuck with movies like God's Not Dead.
Well, it's the
and,
same.
And those Christian films. But even then,
it's the same thing.
They employ
you,
union people all on drugs.
If you drug test the restaurant industry, it's over.
No one's getting no food.
Everybody shuts down. Every single restaurant would shut down.
I remember when I was 17, 18, I got my first job at a Starbucks. Well, I worked at one for a while. This is up in New York. I got a job at Starbucks. I asked the manager. I was like, we're there for a few weeks. And I just because I was curious. You know, this was one of my first jobs like that at mm-hmm. that time. I was like, so would there be, like, am I going to have to do a drug test or anything like that? How's that going to work? And she laughed. She laughed at me. And she was like, if we drug tested this place tonight, tomorrow there'd be no one here to open it up. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's the real world.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
Okay. Everyone, all the people handling your food and drinks and your goods and services
are
all on drugs.
Yes.
FYI.
Just so you know.
Just so you know. Same thing with the industry here of the Woods of Holly. Everyone who made Hercules.
All on drugs.
High on some sort of drug. Or just jacked on some sort of drug. Yep. Like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Brett Ratner probably coked up out of his mind.
More than likely.
But Dwayne Johnson, though, is fantastic. Good. I'm just saying the guy's great.
He is. At number three this week. We have another, well, the story of a great man.
Story of a great man.
Get on up. The James Brown story. It doesn't say the James Brown story. It's just called Get On Up.
Just get on up.
Made $14 million. Seems total. On a budget of not listed on boxofficemojo.com.
$14 million on only 2,400 theaters. That's pretty good. Pretty good screen. Because it's out of the top five, the fewest theaters.
Correct.
Of any release. $14 million is pretty good. Get him up, the James Brown story, directed by the guy who gave us the help. So I was a little disappointed that there were no shit pies.
Yes.
Although there is one scene centered around someone taking a shit.
Correct.
But it never ended up in a pie. For some
not reason. As far as we know.
So not, no. Off screen.
Perhaps.
Inferred, maybe. Get on up. The James Brown movie story. Drewster Cogburn. Get on up, sir. What do you think?
I thought it was okay for a biopic. That Chadwick Boseman guy, he does a really good James Brown impression.
That Boseman.
And
that Boseman.
Watching Black Thought from the Roots do his best James Brown impression with a wig on.
That was funny.
Was hilarious as well.
Yeah. You gotta get a couple going. You know why?
It was pretty funny.
Why stick to one? I liked it. I thought it was good. I think it's better than your average biopic because it's a little more interesting. I don't know
And maybe it helps that the music's so fucking awesome.
That's a thing. It's all James Brown. It's all his music. Man, it's all phenomenal. It's all so good.
Yeah, it is.
Every single song, no matter what, it's like. Oh,
it's like, man, this song is good.
It's so good. And then, yeah, like you said, this Chadwick fellow just kills it.
Yeah, he did. He really did. He killed it.
He's it, man. He's the real deal. He's something else. He's really, really good. Have you ever seen 42? That's been playing on HBO for a while.
Yeah. It was just kind of okay.
Is okay. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm trying to compare the two.
But I think it's just...
It's a character.
Exactly.
Jackie Robinson's a stoic,
yeah,
quieter guy.
Yeah. James Brown is fucking James Brown.
James fucking Brown. Goddamn. And he was, and Boseman did it, man.
Oh yeah, he did.
I thought he was pretty fantastic in it. I like the way his timeline was chopped up, mm-hmm, and thrown together. I like the title cards where it attached a year to one of his nicknames. So it was like 62 is like Mr. Dynamite.
Yep.
You know, and then like it gets like the 90s was like Godfather of Soul. It's like, oh, I was like, that's very apropos and touching. And you know, I was surprised by the way it was put together. Because going into it, I was like, here we go.
You're thinking linear story.
I'm thinking linear story. Here's another fucking, like, the greatest hits of a person's life, which it still is, mm-hmm, to a very large degree. But here's, like, all the big moments of a person's life. Not going to be able to get deep into anything unless you want this movie to be 5 hours long.
Yeah.
And at least it kind of disguised that a bit by, you know, mixing up the editing, being very high tempo with it, knowing how to really ramp things up. I wouldn't recommend people run out to the theater and go see it, but I mean, it's definitely when it comes around HBO or even DVD, Redbox, something like that. I think it's definitely worth seeing. It's
If you're into James Brown's music at all, it's really interesting.
Just for the damn music. Yeah. Just to see Chadwick Boseman do his best James Brown.
Dude, he looks like he had Beavis face the entire time because he did the whole underbite thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this is how James Brown started with the underbite.
Yep.
Yeah, that was his actor's secret. It's all about the underbite for him. But, I thought, going into it, wasn't that I had low expectations, but I was like, yeah, I mean, how good can just a straight biopic be? And I was entertained. It's good. It's a little long. It's about 2 hours and almost 20 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it is a long
heat. James Brown lived a long life. And then I felt like they could have got into... I would have liked more of his later stuff, his later in life stuff.
You want more crazy James Brown?
I want a more crazier, older James Brown to see how he got through that period of his life. You know, they kind of
glazed over
that there. There's a lot of glazing over because it's a biopic, mm-hmm, that seeks to do an entire life. So there's a lot of things. Like his family. What happened to his kids?
Nobody cares.
I mean, yeah. I mean, now was that supposed to be because he really didn't raise his kids? So he... Out of sight, out of mind. Is that what that's supposed to reflect?
Or, maybe.
I mean, I don't
know. Or maybe you're just reading too much into it. Maybe you just didn't have time.
Am I just bringing that to it? You know? Yeah, exactly. Right now. So. Just in the, yeah. But still, I thought it was good. I liked it. There you go.
Number two this week, Lucy.
Take us to the two.
We can gross $18.3 million, total of $79.5 on a budget of $40.
Goddamn. This movie's going to make $100 million. Good for Miss Johansson.
Yeah.
And...
Mr. Besson.
And again, Lucy. It's, you know, it's Lucy.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's the, it's some guy who got really stoned and was like, hey, man, I got something to tell you. And you're like, oh, God, here you go. All right, what do you got, buddy?
Pretty much. That was cool, I guess.
I guess. You got some ideas in there somewhere. That's must be some good shit. Luc Besson is on some good shit.
Yes, he is. Right. And coming in at number one this week, definitely probably made more money than anybody expected it to, especially you.
Goddamn!
Guardians of the Galaxy had a week at gross of $94 million on a budget of $170. That has an opening weekend bigger than Dawn of the Planet of the Apes by like $20 million.
Yeah.
It also beat out X-Men Days of Future Past by about $4 million.
Fatality.
And it really only got beat out by Captain America and Transformers, and really not by more than like $5 or $6 million.
It's right up there. It's pretty much the biggest opening weekend. One of the biggest opening weekends of the summer and of the year.
And it's in August, Chris. I thought we didn't have big openings in August.
It beat the number one opening weekend before this for... August was The Bourne Ultimatum at $69 million. That's a 35% increase over August opening weekends. Oh. That's not just beating the record.
That's demolishing.
That's crushing that record. Yeah. I mean, I'm shit.
I told you it was going to be big, Chris. I didn't think it was going to be this big either.
No one thought it was going to be this big.
I thought
big.
It was going to be more of a sleeper, but yeah.
But you want to put in a little bit of perspective. When it comes to Marvel movies, like you said, Captain America Winter Soldier opened to 95. They're calling this one at 94 even.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if when the actuals come out tomorrow, which no one will report 92, 93, right? But still, that's more than Thor, which only made open at 65. Thor Dark World, 85. The first Captain America, 65. And the Incredible Hulk, 55. I mean, goddamn, it almost doubled the opening weekend of the Incredible Hulk. No one saw that shit coming. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is fucking crazy. And good for them. Good for Disney. Good for the Disney marketing machine. They've proven that they can sell anything. It helps that they have something like Guardians of the Galaxy, which is pretty easy. Kind of easy to sell when you have, like, shit-talking raccoon.
Some weird giant funny, amorphous tree thing.
Giant funny tree. And
hot green chick.
Hot green trick. Trick.
She could be.
Bit of a trick. And Chris Pratt. So,
Being all Han Solo-y.
Let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. That's the word, our non-spoiler talk about it. What did you think, Drew? What did you think of the Guardians?
I mean, I thought it was good for... it's a big budget. It's weird because you want to say that it's a comic book movie, but it's more of a sci-fi movie than anything. It's a sci-fi movie in the Marvel Universe.
It owes more to Star Wars than it does...
anything comic or
like
superhero.
Batman, Superman, yeah. Spider-Man. Yes, totally. Chris Pratt is totally Han Solo / Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Rocket Raccoon, he's Han Solo
/ Boba Fett.
/ Boba Fett, because he's a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Groot is Chewbacca.
Straight up
Chewbacca. With a little bit of R2-D2. Chewbacca is really a hairy R2-D2.
Pretty much.
And Zamora is Leia. Tough chick. Princess Leia.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars.
A little more badass than Leia is.
A little more badass, but then again, also, somehow, besides for Glenn Close, the only... there's another chick. There's only three chicks in this entire galaxy.
And they all...
And two of them are related.
Yeah.
And one of them is...
really old.
A robot type thing. And then one of them's Glenn Close. Yep. So... it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars for this generation, which is funny because we're getting Star Wars next year for this generation.
Yeah.
But Marvel beat them to it. And
but Star Wars doesn't have any giant purple things that, you know, I mean, you know, that little purple rock kind of woo. Ooh.
Oh, Purple Rock.
Yeah, the Infinity Stone.
The Infinity Stone is like, it's like the Force, but in stone form.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like, oh, you can now grab the Force and use it. That's all that is. Yeah. It's the Force.
Or be destroyed by it.
It's the Force. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's the Force. Mm. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars.
So be it.
But it's still, it's a fun movie. It's got jokes. It's got jokes and jokes and jokes.
Oh, yeah. It's very smart mouthed.
Very. It's a smart mouth. It's a smart alecky movie.
Yeah. 100%.
They would call that, in critical terms, you would call that irreverent.
Yes. Yes, it is.
In street terms, smart alecky. Mm-hmm. Smart ass. It's a smart ass film. That's that James Gunn. The guy who did Super and Slither. Hey, that's that James Gunn sensibility, which is cool. It's cool that he, again, that's auteur theory. Whether he makes a movie for $1 million or $170 million, you can still tell it's a James Gunn movie.
Yeah.
He made this one within the system, this one being the Disney Marvel system.
Another movie with a great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack. Wow. I was going to say, if it wasn't for seeing a James Brown movie about James Brown music, this would be like the soundtrack of the summer.
Yeah, it would be.
But then I'm like, I cannot just get on it.
No.
It's,
ow!
Yeah. That's better than Ooga Chugga.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Ooga Chugga's cool. But we got that James Brown.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a cool movie. I do. The thing is, maybe. I don't know. I want to like it more than I do. But it's just a little hollow. It's a hollow film. It's still, at the end of the day, this movie is just like the Thor movies. Or the first Captain America.
Or the Transformers movies.
No. I'm talking specifically of the Marvel movies, in which they are just cogs in the giant storytelling wheel, right? It's all, they're just building us up for more Avengers movies.
Well, yeah.
So this movie, at the end of the day, this movie exists only for two reasons. To introduce us to the purple stuff and to
the purple guy.
The idea of the purple guy and the Infinity Gauntlet. It's all just setting up the Infinity Gauntlet.
It's just bringing up the Infinity Stones.
So because of that, there really is no story. And we'll get more into that in the spoiler episode. Mm-hmm. But there's just no story. The story is get the purple stuff.
Yes. Or keep it away from somebody.
Or keep the purple stuff away from someone.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's not a story. I'm sorry, that's not a story. That's a here's a stuff happens movie.
Yes.
But still, good acting. I mean, the actors are all good. They all go for it, you know? They're all selling it. They're all into it. Chris Pratt's good. He can lead a movie. I didn't think this guy from Parks and Rec could lead a movie.
Well, he can lead a funny action movie.
A funny action movie at the very least. Yeah, yeah. I bought him there.
As long as he drops, you know, that gut of his and puts on some pounds up top, which he did.
Yeah, he was pretty ripped. He was really jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, that Hollywood diet. Get on that rip fuel.
Woo!
That Hollywood rip fuel. That's what we need to get. We need to get us some Hollywood rip fuel and just get giant Mel Gibson arms. So now, do we call the episode Hollywood rip fuel or giant Mel Gibson arms?
Giant Mel Gibson arms. Definitely.
I'll write that down.
100%.
Because I will forget that. Well, I mean, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. Listen, it's like, at this point, either I think you're pretty much going to see it or you're not going to see it. But if you were going to ask me, I'd say it's definitely worth seeing in a theater. Because visually, it's pretty great.
Yeah, it is.
And it's fun. It's cool. Rocket Raccoon's a fun character. He's a bit of a smartass. Vin Diesel says, "I am Groot," over and over and over.
Lots of things explode.
Lots of explosions. Lots of explosions.
Lots of fantasy and sci-fi violence.
Fantasy, sci-fi, a lot of that PG-13 violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got it all. If that's what you're into.
Yes.
If that's what you're looking for.
Yes.
So I would say, yeah, go ahead, see it in the theater. For people that are looking forward to something like this, you've already seen it already. I mean, $90 million opening weekend, you've seen it. Any of you that's on the fence, if you're on the fence and you're thinking about seeing it, go ahead and see it. It's fine. It's good. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. It's not going to change your world. It's not going to blow you away. It shouldn't be your favorite movie of all time ever because it doesn't have a substance to be that. But
it's not going
to
make you think.
No. Ain't no thinking. Ain't no thinking going on with The Guardian. But still. It's good.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you should see it on the biggest screen possible.
Drew says biggest screen possible. That includes IMAX 3D.
No, it doesn't. I'm wholly against IMAX and 3D unless they use IMAX cameras or 3D cameras. None of this post-conversion bullshit.
Well, in I don't know. It might be post-conversion. The post-conversion stuff, I haven't really been to many 3D movies lately, but what I've been reading online, post-conversion has come a long way. So, you know, that's another issue. In defense of James Gunn in this movie being on IMAX screens, he's using that big square screen to his advantage. We really can't see it because we saw it in a normal, you know, anamorphic widescreen theater or whatever. But if you saw it on an IMAX screen, the aspect ratios would change throughout the movie depending on what's happening in what scene.
Mm-hmm.
He supposedly played with the aspect ratio a lot and had a pretty much a fun time trying to figure out what would be best for each scene. So that what might be worth seeing if you're into things like that. But then really what I it's a lot like 3D. When you see a movie like this halfway through it, you're not even noticing those effects because you're just watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You get sucked into it anyway, right? Anyway, so like I said earlier, spoiler filled rundown of Guardians of the Galaxy is available. Check that out. Alright, so there you go. That was the top five.
Yep.
New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have Divergent.
Duh.
With what's her name? Shailene Woodley.
She's a good actress, but I have there's no reason to see this movie.
How about God's Not Dead?
No reason to see that either.
With Kevin Sorbo, a.k.a. Hercules.
Because God is dead.
How about Need for Speed? We saw that one.
That was awful.
It was not very good. Not very good. Aaron Paul is cool, but the movie itself was it.
It's like, man, it wanted to be so many things.
And
like,
but it was none of them.
It wanted to be Fast and Furious. And right. It wanted to be Drive.
Right.
And it was neither of those movies.
No, it was not. Very true. And the horror film from a few months ago, Oculus.
Oh, but the mirrors? The haunted mirrors?
Hercules.
Sweet. Haunted mirrors. I don't fucking care.
It's a horror prequel to Hercules.
Hercules.
And there we go. What's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, we have that garbage movie we talked about earlier, Into the Storm. Comes out next weekend.
So it's coming out next weekend. All right. I can see that by myself probably.
Yep.
Yeah, that looks really bad.
You can also go see The 100-Foot Journey by yourself.
You're not going to see 100-Foot Journey with me? You're not going to go see 100-Foot Journey with me?
No, I work in a kitchen and I don't care about this movie. It's about people cooking things.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
It's a 200-year-old recipe. Maybe 200 years is enough.
Yeah.
Now it's time to add some cumin.
Or some curry powder.
Is that racist?
Yes. 100%.
Because the movie's about Indian guys.
Yep, exactly.
And Helen Mirren.
Yes. I'm sure Helen Mirren eats a lot of curry. She's English. India was a colony.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
And then we've... Oh, God. Michael Bay presents Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We're seeing that piece of shit.
The more it gets revealed in these previews, the less I want to see the movie.
It just...
When I first saw the first trailer, I was like, oh, this looks crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the turtles started talking.
Yeah.
And Megan Fox started talking.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else started talking.
Apparently, according to Megan Fox, the girl power got cut out of this movie. They had some scenes where she beat up some, like, Foot Clan ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
But they cut that stuff out.
Because she's a terrible actress.
Yeah, probably. Goes in a movie with about giant talking ninja turtles.
Teenagers.
Who are teenagers. It still wasn't believable that Megan Fox could beat anybody up.
Correct.
So they had to cut that out.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, that's something.
I don't believe it.
That says something. It's directed by Jonathan Liebesman, who now has a history of taking movies with decent ideas or potential and just shitting all over it. I present to you Exhibit A, Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, so awful.
So, yeah.
Do you have an Exhibit B?
I think he did the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, the one with Jessica Biel.
I don't remember that.
And then he did something else that was just devoid of humor or life.
He did Wrath of the Titans.
That's right, Wrath of the Titans. Which the only good thing about that is when the giant lava monster comes out at the end, and he's as big as a mountain, and he's throwing lava around, and he's so giant he lives in slow motion.
Still awful.
Still, yeah.
Awful.
And what's his name? Perseus runs around with a military haircut.
So awful.
In the BC times.
So bad.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go. Is that it? Is that all coming out? What about that? No, there's no dancing movie coming out, maybe?
I don't care about that. I already X'd out, so no. As far as I'm concerned, no. There are no movies coming out.
I'm just saying. When at the top next week. When it's in the top five, we might have to mention Step Up Ballin.
That's okay. So there's some stupid Step Up movie coming out, apparently.
Step Up All In. Because that makes sense. Because
I'm all out.
Here we go. Let's take a quick break. Crespo Disco time. I couldn't resist.
Something off the Step Up All In soundtrack.
Here we go. Stuff off the Step Up soundtrack. Fortunately, the Step Up soundtrack is a lot like the Get On Up soundtrack. A lot of James Brown on there. So I'm going to play some James Brown for you people. It's fantastic music. You got to love it. How can you not like James Brown? It's also good.
Yeah, if you're racist.
If you're racist.
Like James Brown.
So if you don't like this music, you are racist.
It's not what I said.
So here we go. Enjoy these two songs, and we'll be right back with the second half of episode 82.
One, two, three, four. Get up. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. Like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. Like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. Like a sex machine. Get on up. Wait a minute. Shake your arm. Then use your palm. Stay on the scene. Like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Shoot your bone. Get it together. Right on, right on. Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up.
Get up,
get on up,
get up,
get on up,
wouldn't I? I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar and spice. I feel nice. The sugar and spice. I feel nice, a sugar and spice.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, I know why.
Well, Drew knows why. Frustratingly, Drew knows why. Recorded a whole second half. Episode 82 was in the books. All Adobe Audition had to do was stop so I can save it. But it said it was not responding.
Not that funny.
No, it's supposed to be the other one, actually. I can't do it. You can have that here. I don't think I have it.
I was about to say, I'm feeling this is kind of reminiscent of something I did maybe, I don't know, a half hour ago, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so annoying when you record a whole thing. We've gone through this before. We've gone through our stories. We put everything out there. We did our Jurassic Kong vs. the World. It's happened before where shit got lost. You try to recreate it, and it just doesn't work.
It's just not the same.
You can't recreate it.
No, you can't.
So I'm not even.
The first was magic. This is second rate.
Not even going to bother trying to recreate it. So unfortunately, folks, I do apologize, but we are going to give you a very truncated second half of the show. And you know what? There's a bonus episode. Just download the bonus episode. You know what? Yes, Drew, Adobe Audition. I'm sure it's a great program. When you pay for those customer support and the
and the updates.
And the updates. And the, ooh, you think I should be getting updates?
Yes. But you can't.
Well.
Because, you know, they release programs, they fix bugs in programs through updates, but you can't get the updates because you downloaded the program illegally.
I didn't download it. Someone else downloaded it. They gave it to me.
Just saying.
Someone else Trouble got me the Adobe key generator.
I'm just saying
this is a low rent operation. We're doing the best with what we got. Quick movie news rundown. Christopher Nolan, J.J. Abrams, Quentin Tarantino, Judd Apatow, what do they have in common? They convinced film studios to put money into Kodak so they can keep making film. They're going to stop making film. Fuck digital. Film's where it's at.
Sweet.
Do you even know the difference between film and digital when you're watching a movie, Drew? Can you even tell, ever?
Yeah, usually the film ones look a little prettier.
Usually. Yeah. You have to go to Hollywood Reporter. There's a great article there about Michael Rapaport calling Spike Lee a shit stain.
Sweet. Sounds like a fun feud.
It's a fun feud, and if you think he's going a little overboard, well, Spike Lee called Michael Rapaport stupid and a bad filmmaker, so Michael Rapaport is just responding in kind.
Calling him a shit stain.
Go to Hollywood Reporter, check out that article. I highly recommend it. Apparently, just like in the real world, when you get married in Hollywood, you lose all your friends.
How so?
Mark Ruffalo was friends with Jennifer Garner, but she married Ben Affleck and he stopped.
Oh, not anymore.
And then Kevin Smith and Ben Affleck, they were best bros.
No, not anymore.
But they're not friends either.
I'm pretty sure once you win an Oscar, you stop hanging out with Kevin Smith.
That's true, too. That's true as well. Paramount Australia put out a poster for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Exploding building September 11th.
The movie comes out September 11th in Australia, and the turtles are jumping off an exploding building, and the movie takes place in New York City. And so
that sounds pretty awful.
Guys are not very smart. Yeah, to apologize. Take the poster down. Good job, guys. Good job. And finally, back to Quentin Tarantino. He's making a Kill Bill, the whole bloody affair. Not making it, but he's putting his two movies together, and it's finally come out in theaters in 2015.
And it's going to be long. There better so be an intermission.
There better be an intermission. Because Drewster Cogburn needs to take a break.
I do. I need to smoke a cigarette. Maybe urinate.
He needs to smokinate.
Yes.
Or cigarette?
I mean, if I could smoke a cigarette while I was taking a piss, that would kill two birds with one stone.
On Facebook, I asked for people to give me questions, and we got a whole bunch of great questions from people. Do we even want to ask these again? I kind of just want to give these people, like, their just dues, you know, for asking questions.
Yeah.
Chris Ellis over at Forget That Yo Radio. Check out Forget That Yo.
Forget That Yo.
F-O-G-E-T-D-A-T-Y-O. Got to spell that for our white listeners. Forget That Yo. Stone L Terrible, a.k.a. Chris Ellis, asked us if we thought any movies were overrated, and our answer was yes. Most of them are.
Yes.
Most
movies Many
are.
Of them are.
Many of them are. James Calmer, who once dressed as Donnie Darko at a Halloween party, wanted us to talk about the Martin Scorsese movie Silence. And we talked about that in the episode, in the half that you're never going to hear. So there you go. David Dutch Hooter wanted us to list our top 10 best soccer flicks. And we did.
Shell and Soccer.
And we even went to Google. We looked online.
That's the only one that matters, Shell and Soccer.
Shell and Soccer is easily the number one soccer flick, followed by Ladybugs, Rodner Dangerfield.
So are we still recording, Chris?
Yeah, it's still recording.
So what did they make sure?
I'm keeping an eye. It's still recording.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a big jump between Shell and Soccer and Ladybugs.
Well, there are a lot of good soccer movies.
And that's the one and two. And at the bottom of the list, Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell. And Bend It Like Beckham.
Whoever that guy is.
With Keira Knightley. Caleb Twombly shout outs to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Stillwater, name of the band and Almost Famous.
Yes.
Movies you like to see expanded on TV shows, i.e. or e.g. Fargo, 12 Monkeys. I mentioned Miller's Crossing would be a good one.
And I said Zodiac.
And he said Zodiac, but
I don't want to remake.
Not a new Zodiac TV show. No. You want the Zodiac movie somehow expanded eight hours longer.
Yes. Into 12 hours and broken
up. Eight or 12 hours longer.
Yeah, yeah, and break it up into one-hour segments.
Because that's all these great great TV shows are these days, are very long movies split up into hour-long segments and shown over 8 to 12-week periods. I would be totally down with that. Shout out to Caleb. Brooklyn-based filmmaker Sasha Santiago asked about Expendables 3 and how it got leaked online, whether that would affect the box office.
And we said no.
I don't think it will, because I think it's actually a marketing ploy to get people to realize that Expendables 3 might be better than 1 and 2, because it's from a different director, Patrick Hughes, the guy who did the Australian film Red Hill. So I think, actually, if anything, the leak will help U.S. box office. Now, when it comes to foreign box office, I don't know. That's a little trickier. But still. And finally, Tom Lucas, one of our Batman vs. Superman thoughts.
awful.
We don't think it's going to be good. It's just too fucking much.
Too much going on. Batfleck's not going to be good.
Drew doesn't think Batfleck's going to be good. I'm holding out hope for Batfleck. I'm a Zack Snyder fan. Agreed.
But he's not Chris Nolan.
Agreed. 100% agreed. So shout outs to Chris Ellis, James Calmer, Dutch, David Hooter, Caleb Twombly, Sasha Santiago, Tom Lucas. Shout outs to you guys. I appreciate it. Also, while we're giving out shout outs on Twitter, people that follow us on Twitter and always support the show, guys like Matt Celery and Tar Dolphin. You guys are awesome. Jerry Seuss, always retweeting and helping. See, now that I started down this path, I don't want to forget people. I started, now I got to go. Mike Seven Deuce, Uncool Girl Jen. Got to shout out to all these people. They're all great. They support the show. Rage Against Twit. That guy is always there. Definitely appreciate you. Anyone else that helps us out on Twitter, we really appreciate it. Follow the show on Twitter at Crespediso. Share the show with people. And hit us up on Facebook at Cinema Crespediso. You know, not enough people use the email, man. CinemaCrespediso@gmail.com. Email the show.
Nobody cares about our email.
One cares about the email. Maybe we should get a Cinema Crespediso cell phone so people can then text us. We can have our own texting service.
Sounds awful.
Text the show at 555. It'd be awesome if we got a 555 number. That would be apropos.
It would be.
Yeah.
Of sorts.
Yeah.
Inside
watching.
Joke.
What were we just watching with some guy was going through their phone records and like 10 of the numbers, like something 555, you know, the fake movie phone number. You remember what we were watching?
It was
Glimmer Man. Was it Glimmer Man?
I think it was the Glimmer Man.
It might have been the Glimmer Man. One of the worst Steven Seagal movies, which says something.
You just walk into the jungle, you see a glimmer.
No, you see the jungle. And then you're dead. And then you see a glimmer. And then you're, thanks, Brian Cox. That tells us nothing.
Southern accent, Brian Cox.
That tells us nothing about Glimmers or the Glimmer Man.
The Glimmer Man.
He did have a southern accent.
He did.
Yeah. You ever see that video of Brian Cox how to say names of different scotches and whiskeys?
No, but it sounds like something I should look into.
He sits there and he's like, Glenlivet. And then he takes a sip. Every now and then he might describe it. He'd be like, the cognac of whiskeys.
Nice.
And then he'll take another sip. Then he'll go, Glenfiddich. And then by the end he's like, and he's not drinking the whiskey anymore. He's like, oh. Have you ever seen the video of the footage of Orson Welles doing a champagne commercial?
No.
And he's drunk off his ass.
Sounds awesome.
It is so fun. Almost makes me want to try to...
Can I try to look it up?
I might be able to find it.
Nope.
Because he's like,
I don't care.
He's like, oh, the champagne. I mean, right, here we go. We got it right here. This is what Cinema Crespediso should be. Just me.
Turn camera.
Here we go. Mark. So it's Orson Welles. It's from like the 70s. He's super fat.
With overlap. Action.
Glassy eyed. All right, here we go. He's just like looking at the bottle.
Did
you just do anything?
No, sorry, cut. Yeah,
really? Just do anything?
102, take two.
Just do anything. He's in a commercial. Just do
anything. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne.
He's drunk.
He's hammered. And then look at him.
Inspired by that same French excellence.
Oh, yeah.
It's fermented in the bottle and like the best French champagne.
He's totally pulled, you know what that looks like?
What?
Will Ferrell doing Eric John Rush at the beginning
of
Spoils of Babylon.
Yes.
He's just sitting there at a table getting sloppy drunk.
Just look up Orson Welles commercial on the YouTube and it's him going, no, champagne.
Drunk, fat.
It's pretty funny. I'm sure you heard the Drusa Cogburn versus the World cue back there.
I'm not doing that again.
We're not replaying that game because Drew already knows all the answers. So can't really replay it. Just rest assured, he got over 500. He got like 6 out of 10 or 7 out of 10.
It wasn't bad.
It was a good game.
That you'll never hear.
It was a good game.
And you'll never hear. You'll never know.
That you'll never hear. So anyway, there's Drunk Orson Welles. The second half of this show has devolved into complete assery.
Yes.
And I apologize for that. I really do. But you know what? You can't have it all. Sometimes you just gotta save what you got. Sometimes you just gotta hit control save, and then go out and get some chicken fried chicken.
Is that what I'm having for dinner?
I think that's all. Who there? Well, I think that's what I'm having for dinner.
Sweet.
If someone else won't mind driving a Cracker Barrel, because I'm now 5 beers in, and I need someone to take me to the chicken fried chicken. But I think that's, yeah. How's that sound to you?
All right.
Yeah, for real?
Yeah, I know. We have lasagna for dinner. It's already cooked.
No, it's not.
It's already ready to go.
It's not cooked yet, though.
I'm just saying, it's already ready.
It's going to be better tomorrow.
It will be.
We'll cook it now, but it'll be better tomorrow.
Okay, Cracker Barrel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yay. All right, so I'm going to stop this and save it. Hopefully it'll save and you guys can have a second half of a show. Again, we apologize. But then there's that spoiler episode, bonus content. So I don't apologize. We're busting our asses over here for you people. For free.
And there was a giant Crespo Dome melee from Billy D.
Oh, the Crespo Dome melee from Billy D. Sorry, Billy. We went through the whole thing. All 5 of them. It was epic. Y'all should have been there for it. All right. Well, Drew, thank you.
Very welcome, sir.
And we'll be back next week with episode 83. Hopefully, glitch-free. If not, I'll grab you with my giant Mel Gibson arms and I'll choke you to death. I don't know why I'm blaming on you.
Nah, you blame everything on me, Chris.
You're just closest. You're just the closest.
I get that a lot.
You're within arm's reach. You're within smacking distance. Ooh. We should do a spoof of a Bruce Willis movie, but call it Smacking Distance. Okay, we're out of here.